Good morning, everyone. It's another dreary Saturday. Seems like every Saturday we come in here, it's rainy, cloudy, and we welcome you inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompeiani here. Behind the glass, it's Bill Steinbach, a.k.a. Pomp Jr. Give him a shout. 412-928-9370. That'll put you on the air. You can also tweet me at KD Pomp. We have a lot to get into, and of course, Kevin Gorman just spent the last couple of hours dominated by Pit Topic, and we'll continue to talk about that, certainly, moving forward. And what an impressive game it was for the Panthers last night down in Virginia, ranked 25th, and Pitt really dominated the game. I was so impressed with a lot of things in that game, but specifically what I was impressed with was that big, long drive that took place, I think, in the third quarter of that game, and it really put things away. 15 plays, 84 yards, occupying 8 minutes and 40 seconds. And that, to me, was the statement of the entire game. Because what it said was, we're going to run the ball here because we're having problems passing the ball. You try to stop us. George Aston led the way. Darren Hall followed. Olesen was out with some sort of injury, whether it was a hammy, a quad, whatever. He was very limited in that game. But Darren Hall was just terrific. The senior, 229 yards, 19 carries. But George Aston, I can't say enough about him. And, you know, when he reminds me a lot of John Kuhn. You remember him when he played at, Slippery Rock? Or I forget where he played in college. He got on as a, you know, undrafted free agent with the Steelers, goes to Green Bay, became really one of their biggest parts of their run game. But this guy is going to be an NFL player. And he is just, he wills himself on you. That entire offensive line just moved Virginia Tech. That drive summed it all up for me. 15 plays, 84 yards, 8 minutes and 40 seconds. And then right after that, there was a controversial targeting call, which I just don't understand what they're looking at these days. And in slow motion, it says a totally different thing than it does in regular motion. Patrick Jones, you know, Bryce Perkins, I think he was all stood up there in a pile. They didn't blow the whistle. So he comes in and just gives him a shot. It looked to me like it was more helmet to shoulder than it was anything else. It was in the area, certainly, but so what? If you're going to call everything, then no penalty call, I believe, on the field. It was just a targeting call. He was ejected for that, which is a college rule. But that led to 3 points to make it 14-13, and then they got it right back with one big play. 75 yards, huge hole. Hall goes through it, and that was your game. So Pitt, impressively, and now they're in first place in the Coastal. This will make good on Pat Narduzzi's preseason promise that they will be in the ACC championship game. They do control their own destiny, and next week will be huge, no doubt. So they have Virginia Tech coming to Heinz Field. Time of game has not yet been determined. But I would imagine it's going to be a primetime game, right? It has to be, not a noon start, or at least late afternoon, whatever the case may be. But I would love to see Pitt fans get out and support this team. I mean, what they're doing right now. It's funny to me when you watch them, though, because they don't pass block very well as a group, but they do run block really well, better than most. And give a lot of credit to Narduzzi and his staff for being able to get those guys to move people off the ball, which they did. They're going to need a little bit more in the passing game moving forward, no doubt. They got to mix things up a little bit, but it's good to know that you could rely on a run game that puts you in that situation. A lot of big games, as I said today, in college football. I'll be interested to see what Penn State does today against Michigan. Michigan started slowly, a lot of pressure on Jim Harbaugh, but he's responded after that. They had an early season loss, 7-1, now 5-0. And Penn State has had this thing under James Franklin where they cannot beat the really good blue bloods of the Big Ten. Will that change today? He seemed a little fidgety this week. He got all upset with a question that was being asked about his quarterback. Now listen, it's the quarterback. And those who defend him say, well, he talked about it the day before. It's a press conference setting. You're entitled to ask whatever you want. He should not come off that way, in my opinion. James Franklin needs to answer the question. And if he doesn't like the question, just say, look, we talked about it yesterday. I told you my answer then, or whatever. But don't make it, why are you wasting, give him a lecture to everybody. I thought that looked how nervous he was, to me anyway. That's how it appeared. And to me, it's just not a good look. There's a way to handle every single question. I sometimes go out and we have seminars with kids who are about to get into maybe professional sports. And we, you know, the easiest thing for me to tell people is that you can answer every question. You control the answer. However someone asks it doesn't matter. You control the answer. And I think James Franklin needs to control answers better like that. Don't be annoyed with it. You're starting quarterback. People want to know. Yeah, I know Michigan's listening. But at the same time, just answer the question. Just say, well, no, he's limited. We can't do anything. Whatever the answer is. 412-928-9370. So we'll talk about that. Good doubleheader today on KDKA TV. As I said, the first game today, 3:30, number 6 Georgia against number 9 Kentucky. I don't think Kentucky's played a bigger game in Lexington than this one today. And then tonight, LSU against Alabama. LSU at home, number 3 team in the country, and they're 14-point underdogs. That tells you the separation between Alabama and everybody else. It also will bring into play one of the more interesting battles of all weekend long, and that would be Tua. Pomp Jr., how many guys do you know just go by first name? He's a relatively young quarterback. He's only been around since last year when he came on strong, took the job away from Jalen Hurts. Now everyone just says Tua, and you know who we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's it, Tua. You don't need to say Tagovailoa. You need to say Tua. And what has Tua done this year? 25 touchdowns for Alabama, no interceptions. What has LSU done this year? 14 interceptions as a secondary, mostly. They lead the nation in that. That's a battle you got to watch today. Tua Tagovailoa against LSU. What a game that should be. That's tonight, KDK. We'll follow it all up with the Mike Tomlin Show presented by 84 Lumber. That's coming up tonight after the late news on KDKA. So get your calls in, 412-928-9370. Let's begin with Jack, who calls us from the state of Florida. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Bob. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's malpractice that Narduzzi's sticking with Pitchett. He plays scared. He averages less than 5 yards a pass. We would be at least 6-2 ranked if it wasn't for sticking with Pickett. He's awful.
He's only 9 games in, Jack. I think he's sure. You said he's scared. He's to me, he's courageous. He runs the ball when he can. He goes for extra yards. He's also a young quarterback by virtue of just 9 games.
Have you seen him throw a pass more than 5 yards?
I've seen him. It's not been good. I get that, and I said at the beginning of the show that they have issues in their pass game. But I don't know that at this point of the season you're going to change everything.
I know, but how come Narduzzi can't recruit a quarterback that can throw downfield?
It's not easy, that's how. There are a lot of quarterbacks who want to go to bigger programs, and that's one of the challenges Pitt has. They have to sell this program to people who are those types of players, who want to come to Pitt, who see opportunities, and they should. They have a history of some of the most elite talent ever to head to the NFL. That should be their calling card.
Agreed, but I just feel he's playing scared all the time. You the man, Bob. Thanks a lot.
All right, Jack. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Let's go out to Mark in Robinson, who joins us right now. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good, my man. How are you today?
All right.
Cool. So, quick question with some advice here from you. I'm confused how West Virginia actually isn't getting more respect based off their ranking, where they're at, based off the record that they have for that in the season, and how they're getting +2 today on the road against Texas. Blows my mind. When Texas is 3-5 against the spread, they lost 2 of those 5. They didn't cover the spread at home, to Baylor and Tulsa. West Virginia is 5-2 against the spread, and they covered every road game. You think, am I a sucker here for taking West Virginia today? What do you think?
Yes. I don't ever mess with bookies. If there's a reason why they're in that situation. So those odds makers seem to know. I think Texas is a good bet today, as a matter of fact. And I like what West Virginia has done. I just think Texas at home is one of those teams that is going to be able to handle West Virginia's offense more than anything else.
Harder from maybe what you find on there in Tuscaloosa, I just feel there's no better wide receiver quarterback combo in the nation.
No, those guys are good. There's no question. And Greer's throwing the ball around a little carelessly at times, too. And I think that is one thing I would be of concern this way. If I'm going to give you one advice, Mark, it would be bet the over on that game if you're going to do anything.
West Virginia has covered the over every game but one this year.
That's why I'm telling you that.
All betting and spreads aside, do you think, though, West Virginia is not the best team in the Big 12 right now? Or do you say it's Oklahoma?
I think it's Oklahoma, but I think West Virginia has a chance still. And I like their team, like I said. I think Oklahoma is very talented in a lot of different departments that overshadow West Virginia when you look at all three phases of the game. That's the way I look at it. I like Oklahoma a lot. But, Mark, thanks. I appreciate it. Go over. That's my advice. 412-928-9370. Our program is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank for the Achiever in You. Also, number one, Cochrane, go one better. And a portion of the Bob Pompiani Show is also brought to you by Window Nation. 412-928-9370 is that number. We will take a break. Get your calls in right now. We're talking college football. We're going to get into the Ravens and the Steelers. A big game coming up tomorrow in Baltimore where the Steelers have not had a lot of success. Will it change tomorrow, and what must they do to change it? Are you disappointed the Steelers didn't make a trade for a cornerback? And I also want to get into some Penguin conversation about Patrick Hornquist. Are they undervaluing him by not putting him in the top six? Vis-a-vis his numbers indicate that he's not. He's had two games in which he scored out of 11. That's it. And he's a $5 million a year player. Should he be playing up more? We'll talk about that and more right here. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.